Hello, all of our beautiful third roommates. What's going on, guys? It's Peter here. I have a very, very, very special, close to the heart interview for you guys. Just me today, but I am bringing on my parents to give you guys a little debrief on the most special flight of my career, of my dad's career, his final trip with United Airlines, his retirement trip. We're going to go into all the details and walk you guys through everything we were feeling, everything that happened, and go down the last 37 years of his career. This is a really great interview, and I'm excited for you guys to listen to it. We got some great videos that we're going to attach to social so you guys can really feel it, what we were feeling. And as you guys know, it is great to be back in New York City. Been gone for a minute. I've missed doing these podcasts from our beautiful city. So as you know, city can be loud. If you guys do hear any jackhammers or any other city noises going on in the background, I apologize. Not much we can do about that. But it's one of the joys of living in New York. But just a little disclaimer there. Without further ado, let's get my parents on and get into this. All right. Well, I think we have a fun little conversation to have today to debrief what I would consider the biggest moment in my career. And I can confidently say the biggest moment that I'll ever experience in my career. But I have my parents here joining us on the pod to debrief my dad's final trip with United Airlines. So welcome, guys.
Oh, thank you. This is a pleasure.
It's such a pleasure. I love you. Thank you.
Love you guys. Well, so we were kind of talking a little bit there. I want to give you the floor, Capitan, and let you finish what you were saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was talking about how, I remember when you first got the 787 bid, and of course, I was super excited. And, I knew my time was winding down, and you were just like so positive, like, this is going to work out. We're going to be able to fly your retirement flight. And, I'm just, you know me, right? I'm always the realistic one and everything. And I'm thinking, wow, a lot of things have to happen to make that actually succeed, because, just getting through training, getting your IOE, getting a flight scheduled. But, you were just so gung-ho about it. And it just really pumped me up. And you can talk about, I guess, your training or, how tight it actually was.
Yeah, but I think that's definitely, I want to get into that, because just to kind of, it's fun, like, to look back on it now, how kind of crazy an idea this was, that this was actually going to work. The odds were not in our favor. And just to give you guys a little background,
no.
I had flown it, for Delta Airlines for about 3 years before I got the call to come over to United. And a huge reason, I remember sitting in my regional chief pilot's office, a great guy over at Delta, and I came clean with him. And, we had a close relationship, and obviously it can always be a little awkward to talk about leaving the company that, Delta treated me great. There was, nothing wrong there. But I told them that a huge reason, probably the biggest reason that I need to do this, was the dream to fly with my dad and give it a chance. And I'd regret it for the rest of my life if I at least didn't try, and never knowing if it was going to possibly work out. And so I remember talking with him. He looked me in the eye, and you could tell that he didn't enjoy me saying that I was leaving, but he understood. And he's like, if I was in the same position, honestly, I'd do the exact same thing. And so that was a big gamble to take, to leave 3 years of seniority, to leave Delta and make the jump over. But in the back of my mind, I always believed that it was going to work, and put it out there, and it ended up working. And just to give you guys a little bit more background, so getting over to United, I had originally been awarded this 787 bid, the airplane that my dad is on. And I had been awarded it in like October of 21. And this was all looking good. And it's like, oh my God, this is going to work out. Plenty of time. I was scheduled for training in February to go through it, to be fully checked out, to be put on his flight. And training then starts getting delayed and pushed back. And now I'm thinking, are you kidding me? So freaking close. Like, we did everything we could, and there's nothing I can do about this. Like, if training gets pushed back, it gets pushed back. And then we had some conversations like, we can't feel bad about this. We tried. This would have been an incredible opportunity, but at the end of the day, we only have so much control. Remember, you kind of like console me with that. And it was tough. Like, I still didn't want to give up on it. And I remember being on a trip in Denver one of my last trips, actually. I didn't even realize it at the time, but I got a voicemail from one of the ladies in the scheduling department for training. And it's a voicemail, and I see on the text readout, I think you're going to want to give me a call. Have a 7-8 class. And I lost my mind. I gave her a call back ASAP, and it was to start in like 6 days, which is a quick turnover time with all the training you got to do. And you got to do a lot of CBTs, computer-based training, all those modules.
Oh my God.
And, but I was like, we're doing it. We're doing it. And the class was slotted for March 1st. My dad's last flight was April 15th. So I was going to finish end of March. I had 2 days off. And then we quickly got an IOE trip scheduled, which is the final flight that you do in the real airplane with a Czech airman. And then you get signed off. And then we got released the line. But this all came, no joke. If this isn't an example of manifestation, and put your dreams out there and don't ever, ever give up on them. Let this be an inspiration for that, because it could, I truly believe it. I mean, this could not have been closer. This was 1 week. We made it within 1 week of planning this years out in advance, 1 week of having it all work out. And we got to do the flight.
Amen.
All right, Capitan, 37 years.
Yes.
37 years in the books. I would describe it, I know you've described, you know, you were so fortunate to have it, but a fairy tale career. Fairy tale career. I mean, quite honestly, not every airline pilot, for the majority of airline pilots, they don't get to experience the career that you were fortunate enough to experience. And I know you feel so grateful for that. You met mom through the whole experience on a trip. She loved your butt, and that, and the rest is history.
I did.
No boy.
And, but I'm sure you guys have, you know, insane amount of stories of being able to fly together and you know, enjoy the career even before Jack and I, you know, were even here. But I want to give you the floor to just describe to you what these last 37 years meant. Obviously, it's such a large portion of your life to give to this wonderful airline. And I know you did it the right way. So what did that mean to you?
Oh, boy. It was incredible. You know, when I look back on 37 years, first of all, I can't believe that it's actually been 37 years, because it just like went by in the, you know, in the blink of an eye. But, you know, I have been extremely fortunate, and I want to thank United for, you know, having given me the opportunity to do what I love. It's been really good. And, you know, they've
guys, don't be sorry at all, Capitan. This is the passion that you're showing right now. Obviously, has been something that honestly was a big reason that inspired me to fall in love with flying. And I think it's so beautiful, you know, seeing you express this. How cool is that? That you found something to do with your life that you loved so damn much. So don't worry, this is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, no, it has. I mean, they've been so good to our family. You know, we're an aviation family, and you know, as Barbara always says, always united. And it's just, you know, to think that I'm handing over the reins to you, and knowing just, you know, how in good hands, you know, United will be with pilots like you and Jack coming on soon and you know, this next generation. But it's just, when I look back and reflect on everything, it, you know, when I got, what's so great about this is that I am literally reliving my new hire days through you. And, you know, when you were going through your training, and it was just because I knew that my time was getting short. And it, I know exactly what you're going through, and you know that I always say to you, appreciate every single moment. It's so easy to get caught up in the, you know, the minutia of what's going on, and you see people getting frustrated with things that might be going on in the operation. But it's just appreciate every single moment, because it goes so fast. And you know, my whole progression from getting hired at United, I remember when, oh my God, when I, you know, when I was applying to the airlines and then I got a letter from United that, you know, to come in for an interview, I was just, oh my God, it was one of the happiest days of my life. And, you know, so I'm preparing for this interview and going and buying a suit. And back then it was, three solid days of interviewing and testing and medical and simulator rides. And it was just, but I just embraced it. I loved it. You know, of course I was nervous, and how can you not be nervous? You know, the chance to fly for United Airlines, it was always my first choice of airlines. And it was just so great. And then, you know, getting to New Hire School and the camaraderie that you had with all the people in your class and getting together in the hotel and, you know, and talking about the day. And it was just so wonderful. And all the different airplanes. I mean, I've been so blessed. You know, I started out as a flight engineer on the DC-10. And here I am, I'm based in Denver. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm new to this whole airline game. And we had what was probably the best trip in United Airlines system. This is back in 1985. And it was Denver to Honolulu for a 32-hour layover.
Damn, life's rough.
I know. And of course,
that was your first trip.
That was my airline life at the time. I was a DC-10 engineer, and that was a trip. And I'm like, boy, life is tough. You know, I go from Denver to Honolulu for 32 hours and then fly home. And it's like, wow, can it get any better than this? And then on one of my trips as a flight engineer on the DC-10, I was in Chicago going, getting ready to.
Oh, I think I know where this is going. Did you bring a bathing suit?
Right. And
you've been practicing your Rosetta Stone Spanish for quite a while before this.
Actually, you know, no. and it was just like, you know, we had a very special passenger on board the flight that day who was a deadheading flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I'm coming back from my walk around and walking up the aisle, and she had boarded early. And oh my God, your mother was sitting in a first class seat, deadheading down. And as I'm walking by, I kind of glanced over and I said, wow, you know, and I kept walking. And and of course, she's told her story about this whole thing about when I walk. You can jump in anytime, sweetie, if you want to.
How
speechless.
How tight were your pants? I'm just curious. When you were a new hire, how tight were these pants?
I didn't think they were that tight. Come on now. I didn't think they were that tight.
They weren't that tight. It was just the whole thing was just perfect.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, the rest is beautiful history. We ended up, I mean, that's another thing that, you know, if not for United Airlines, I would have never met your mother and had the beautiful life that we have. But we, you know, we met and engaged in some conversation. Hola.
Hola.
And ended up starting our wonderful story.
That's one thing that obviously, I think, you know, people that have kind of followed our story can see that we're very passionate about United and the whole airline and just in our career and what we've chosen to do. But a huge thing is the family aspect that United truly has created for us. Like you just said, I mean, I wouldn't exist if you didn't fly for United, you know, if you guys never met on a United flight. And I actually remember, you know, bringing that up in my interview, United interview, Jesus, I was probably the most emotional. I was so damn like kind of embarrassed, but like at the end of the day, I was like, you know what? You can't fake that. And like, that was real.
Right.
But I like the last question that they always ask at the United interviews, you know, currently is why United? And a huge thing was just what it meant to me. United has been like my family. And I remember just breaking down because it means so damn much. And I think you kind of gave a little insight of kind of why that is. And it's a beautiful thing.
We are absolutely a united family, and I couldn't be more proud or happy that it's worked out this way.
We are truly blessed.
So
definitely.
Always united.
Yes.
Always united. You guys met. Love at first sight. Love at first butt sight. And
that's the first I've ever heard that one.
What you like what you like. And so you guys then you were able to do trips together. You got at that time you were able to buddy bid pilot flight attendant, correct?
Yes, that was when we were flying out of Washington Dulles Airport. They had, you know, started that operation. I can't remember the exact year, but that was my first I got out to Washington by taking my first co-pilot bid, and that was on the 737. That's how I got out there. But we had actually met on the DC-10 prior to that. And of course, Barbara was based in Chicago, but we ended up getting married. So, you know, we moved to Washington Dulles, to the Virginia area. And we were there. I was flying on various airplanes for about 15 years based out of Washington. But in reference to your question, yes, when I was on the 767 as a, it was a 757, 767, we flew both types as a first officer. I loved the Washington base. You know, there was all that European flying, and I just, that's just my favorite place to go is Europe. And we flew together a lot to Madrid because Barbara was the language qualification person on the airplane, and she flew purser quite a bit. And it was just wonderful flying together because, boy, let me tell you, we sure got, guys loved flying with me when we went over there because, I mean, you know, spoiled? Back then, oh, we got so spoiled. And back then, you know, we'll get back to it, I'm sure, but the service that they provided is, I mean, the first class service was, it would blow your mind. I mean, they came down, it was like a 7-course extravaganza, you know, with the first the drinks and the hot nuts and then the appetizers, and you know, they would be like, they would slice the meat, the Chateaubriand right there out in the aisle, and you know, the caviar and the Dom Perignon. I mean, it was just crazy. But the result of that is that we always got fed up in the cockpit with all this really, really nice food, because Barbara would bring that up to us. And, you know, like I said, guys love flying to me when we flew together.
That's amazing. That is amazing. All right. Yeah. Mom, what would you say, looking, you know, obviously I've been able to see it, you know, just in your eyes flying, you know, when we've been passengers on a flight with Dad, what would be, like, how would you describe the pride that you felt flying with him, from working with him to being a passenger on a flight that, you know, that he was the captain of?
Oh, I'm speechless. For once, you know, the pride in my heart, it has been, the whole experience has been so touching. And, you know, I just wanted to bring up a little story that, as you're saying these things, that I was so, when I look back at everything, it was such a cute story. He had just gotten on his first trip out of the, on the 67, 767, it was to Paris. It was his first trip to Paris. You're going to get a kick out of this one. We're going to Paris. And he says to me, he goes, oh, he says, your days are off. You know, those days you have off. Why don't you try to come with me on my first one? And I said, I'd love to. So,
I mean, who turns down a trip to Paris? But
Right. Especially yeah. A date to Paris.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was, I was 5 months pregnant, okay, with you.
Oh.
I was 5 months pregnant with you. But I could still fly at the time. You know, I was still was able mm-hmm. to. So I get on the plane. I'm all excited. We're heading out to Paris. Well, actually, we get into the airport. I get my seat. And the gentleman right next to me, it was a first class seat. And the gentleman next to me, I'm so thrilled and I'm so excited. I have to share with everyone that my husband is the first officer on this trip. And I do. I talk to everyone, right? So he's sitting right next to me, and we've been talking for a little bit before we started, you know, getting ready for takeoff. And as we're taking off and we're rolling down the runway, I look at him. I go, I am so excited. This is my husband's first trip on this airplane.
That's probably the last thing this guy wanted to hear.
I know. The last thing he wants to hear.
He goes, but you know what? I was just so happy, and I so much pride, and I know he's such a great pilot, and I just wanted to share it with him. You know, all good, because I'm like you, very positive person, and I was so happy at the time. You know that it was happening. So as we're rolling, I look over at him. I go, "This is his first trip on this airplane."
Okay.
And he looked at me. And goes, "Oh, oh." And then, you know, afterwards, of course, you know, he, when we were in the air, and he just started saying, you know, I told him a little bit about Peter, you know, my husband, and he was just like so impressed, you know, with everything that he had been flying and so forth in the past. So I was really, really just so full of everything, all good things in my heart. So yes, lots and lots of pride. And I'm so, so, oh my gosh, so happy to have seen this, you know, this retirement trip, you know, when I saw you guys walking down by the concourse coming in, by when we were waiting at the gate, my heart was just so full of all good things, of all great ingredients, love, you know, pride, just happiness. You know, it was just a beautiful thing. And I'm so proud of all of you guys.
I mean,
to see Jack in there too. Oh,
that was truly, and we can get into that now. That was such a dream come true. And it honestly, like, we've had a couple of days to kind of like process everything and really feel it all, but it's kind of cool. I mean, even from my, you know, from my book writing, from like the first time that I remember seeing you, you know, dressed up in your uniform, operating the actual airplane on a flight with you, to think from that moment to now walking up to the gate with you and being dressed in that same uniform with you all these years later, it, like, that, I keep saying that was like, that was magic for me. Like, that,
it was magic.
I will never forget that feeling that I felt, and just it, the whole, everything in that moment was so worth it. And there was zero doubt in my mind, like any decision I had made. And it just, I like didn't want it to end. I just wanted to just like keep experiencing it and keep feeling it. And I was like, damn, I wish this was more than just one trip, but you know, we're going to make this trip, you know, the best damn trip of our lives. And, you know, walking up to the gate, it was pretty cool. So this is, we can get into this trip, guys. We started from LA. We went LA to Newark. That was going to be on the 13th. And then on April 13th, and we're going to have a layover and then fly back the morning of the 15th on April 15th. So that first flight, we show up to the gate, and I remember personally, so like, this is, you know, my dad had given me the leg to fly out. He was obviously going to have the last leg flying back. And so for me, I'm just like, you know, obviously I am, you know, very confident in my abilities and my skill, but this was just like a whole different, like, I want to just impress my dad so much. I just want to, you know, I want to make him proud right now, like in this flight. This was like it was almost like a pressure, but it wasn't a pressure at the same time. Just, I was so excited to do it and like be able to fly like by your side and have everyone on board. And I remember showing up to the gate and we see the Newark flight, and one of your chiefs out in LA had a really special announcement and presented you with a retirement award, a beautiful award, and did a speech kind of describing your career and how this was going to be your last trip, you know, with United. And then immediately just like emotions start taking over like crazy, and being able to see you just kind of relive it as he's talking all, you know, all the airplanes you've flown. And then it's just so cool, because at this point, everyone on the board, we're flying a 787-900 or dash 9, you know, there's a lot of people in the boarding area. And then everyone just starts applauding for you and showing you so much love. And I was like, all right, we are off. Like, this is the beginning of that. What was that like for you standing there, knowing that we're about to embark here on your last trip and everything that was about to happen for us?
You know, the whole thing was so surreal. I mean, just trying to keep it together as we were walking, you know, through the terminal and going to our gate. I mean, I knew it was, you know, the last trip, but I kind of was trying to keep that out of my mind. I mean, it was like I can't really remember everything that happened, because my brain was in overdrive and so many emotions. But, you know, knowing I was flying with you and Jack was going to be in the jump seat, it couldn't have ended any better. You know, when Chris was giving his retirement speech for me and going through the progression of airplanes and just everything that was happening, I mean, I had actually wanted to say something, but I couldn't. I was so choked up, and it was just a powerful moment. But, you know, once we got through the jetway and onto the airplane, it was like, you know, we have to get down to business. And
that's one thing I wanted to say. It was so cool to me. You know, throughout my entire flying career, we've always had a saying, flap, fly like a pro. And just, you know, this profession is one that you always have to take so seriously and be the ultimate professional at all times. You can never waver from that. And that's something that you instilled in me from, you know, my very first flight lesson. And we always say flap to each other, you know, just signing off or about to go off for a trip or whatever. But it, to me, it was so cool seeing, you know, everyone was experiencing those emotions in that moment, and then going on the jet bridge and then going, you know, I'm still taking it in as we're walking through the first class section to get to the front of the cockpit and get in and put our bags away. And then it just like, boom, I just saw your whole demeanor. Just, it just, you were the ultimate program. You were the ultimate captain, and it, you were just, you were ready to perform the flight and do all your duties and not miss a beat. And I remember just like admiring that like crazy and like, wow, like that, my dad is the ultimate pro. To be able to just, you know, take all this and just turn it off for a second and get down to business, just something that I've always looked up to you for, and seeing that in that moment just made it even more, you know, even stronger for me. And we got to business, and it was crazy.
It was, you know, thank you for those kind words, but I just have to say that watching you, because I mean, I had to put everything in perspective too. You had just gone through this entire school, and you know, this is a complicated airplane, and you know, you went on your IOE, and by the way, I want to give a shout out to your Czech airman Gary Moore, because he's a good friend of mine, and you were so blessed to have him as your line Czech airman. Very knowledgeable person, and he prepared you, you know, exceptionally for your first, let's say, solo flight. And when I was watching you do your cockpit setup, I was like, this does, you know, you look like a seasoned professional. It wasn't like some, you know, normally I've flown with a lot of guys that have just, you know, are new to the airplane, and they're like, you know, I can just tell when they're setting up the cockpit that they're a little unsure of things, or they'll ask me, do we do that? You know, and you were so professional, and you knew everything so perfectly. And I just want to thank you for your professionalism and how seriously you took your schooling and your IOE, and you really, really learned it very well. And I couldn't be more proud.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. Yeah, huge, huge shout out to Captain Gary Moore. So cool. You guys, you know, obviously started your careers together, and it's very cool. You know, his family actually has experienced, you know, and feels the exact same way about United as I know ours does. His son Blake was hired, you know, 2 weeks, his class is 2 weeks before mine, and he's got two other sons that are you know, coming on to United hopefully soon, like Jack. But yeah, thank Captain Moore. He was a huge reason why this all worked out, being able to get me through IOE in time to get on your flight. Getting back to that flight, I just got to say, words really can't describe how special it was. You know, we took off, we had the red eye, LA to Newark, and just so surreal. I remember advancing those throttles and you know, pressing toga and check thrust, and we were off and taking off, and it was a very, very surreal moment for me. We get to Newark and, you know, do our approach in there. It's a beautiful, you know, view of the city coming in, and just perfect in every way. We land, and then there's a surprise for us that,
boy, I'll say
that neither one of us knew for sure. Well, no, we didn't know it was coming. I know you had hoped for it. I had hoped for it. It's something that I had thought about as a little kid. Truly, the first time you ever told me that this thing existed, I always imagined what it would be like to experience that for you. And I mean, come on, being able to be in the right seat with you, Jack in the jump seat right there with us. We taxi off the runway, guys. We pull onto a taxiway alpha. We make a right turn. I remember we have a FedEx Heavy taxiing off our right side. I'm checking in with ground, then going over to ramp, and we still don't know what's coming. And we're approaching our intersection to taxi into the ramp. And the ground controller, you know, she had known, and it was so cool. She's like, oh man, congratulations. So cool. Father-son flight, retirement flight. And thank you so much. Thank you. And I'm checking into ramp, and then we see these two fire trucks. And then I want you to describe what happened next.
Well, you know, when we pulled onto Alpha, I could see way down in the distance at Romeo Fox, which was the entrance to our alleyway where we were going to park.
I could see, you know, some flashing lights, but that's not unusual, only because sometimes there's the fire trucks will go to a you know, with paramedics to an airplane that requires some medical assistance and whatnot. And then we're getting closer, and I'm thinking, you know, in the back of my head, wow, you know, maybe this is going to be a water cannon salute. And as we got, you know, prior, you know, to making our turn, we both knew, all three of us actually, that this was happening. And as I pulled into the alleyway there, I mean, when those water cannons started shooting and, you know, us driving through, and thank God we have a video of this from the perspective of the firefighters right from their truck. And then, you know, they're honking those deep throaty horns, and oh my God.
Incredible. I remember looking over to you.
It was just incredible.
And I immediately just saw your eyes just start to get all teary-eyed, and then it just started hitting me, and I know Jack, and it exceeded anything I ever could have imagined what that would have felt like. You're so right with it was just such a dramatic setting with these huge fire cannons or water cannons just blasting off and creating this beautiful arc for you to taxi under and just salute you and say thank you and show respect for, you know, the amazing career that you gave to United. That was special. Mom, you were in the back there, I think 5A from your vantage point. What was that like?
Well, I got to see a little bit when we made the turn. I saw some fire trucks and I had never seen one. And I thought, that's it. That's it. So all of a sudden, all this water just came out by my window. And I was just, like I said, I did not get the view that you guys got, but boy, I got a lot of water coming towards my window and I knew exactly what that was.
I'm so happy. Yeah, that we have that video. The chiefs and our chief pilots in Newark did an incredible job. Huge shout out to them too for coordinating all that and getting the videos to us. I mean, we'll never forget that moment.
No.
And yeah, you taxi in.
It's just, you know, for a lot of people that I guess they don't, you know, quite understand what that is, but I mean, it's just such a sign of respect on a final flight, you know, that water cannon salute and the fact that we could get it done in Newark, you know, and again, shout out to Fabian Garcia, the chief pilot there. I'm sure he had a lot to do with that because I knew that we weren't going to get one in LA because of the water restrictions out there. And so that, you know, they stopped doing that, but to get it done like that and have the two of you in the cockpit, I mean, just the three of us, it was magic. And, you know, that video, I mean, I'm never going to forget that moment. I'm never going to forget the entire flight. Period. But that was really a special way to end that flight.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. We'll post videos, guys, if you haven't seen it yet, of this exact water cannon salute. So you can put an image to it. And it was true magic. We taxi in, we deplane. And it was so cool. I'm excited to share with everyone. We had, you know, United has been incredible with this whole thing. They had film crews, guys, that followed us on both legs. And, you know, that whole finished product yet hasn't been, they're still editing it. And I can't wait to share it with you guys. That's going to encompass all this, the whole flight. But they were on that first leg and we said bye to them. We went into the city for our layover. We had a little surprise plan for you that you had no idea about.
Oh my God, that was
you thought incredible. So my dad thought we had all tricked him. Oh, we're going to go to Carmine's, which is one of our favorite Italian restaurants here in the city. And so that's the plan. We're going to meet downstairs. At this point, it's just my mom, my dad, Jack, Christine, my brother's fiance, and myself. And we're eating downstairs at our time. And then we have one of our good friends, Udochi, from Nomad's place. He meets us and my dad's at first, he's like, oh, Udochi, what's going on? Like, my dad knows Udochi, but yeah. He's like, oh, good to see you.
That was so weird because he's like all dressed up and he's got this umbrella. It just started raining there and we're at the entrance to the hotel coming out. He goes, oh yeah, you know, I have a car over here for you. And oh my God, we walk around the corner and there's this huge stretch white limousine. And I'm like, what the heck?
That was so cool. Awesome. And you still didn't know where we were going. You thought we were still probably just going to Carmine's.
No.
And we show up to Magic Hour, which, guys, if you haven't checked it out in New York City, is a spot to see beautiful venue right near perfect view of the Empire State Building, a nice rooftop restaurant, bar, lounge. And we had had a surprise party planned for you with a bunch of your friends and my friends, and waiting for you there. And everyone was just so happy to celebrate you and your amazing retirement. That was an awesome time.
That was, I cannot thank you enough. I mean, the effort that you put into organizing that, and the venue, again, like you said, was spectacular. You know, we're looking out right there. The Empire State Building is right there, but inside was so cool too. You know, all of my friends that were there that you organized and got this together. I mean, it was just so special. And you had this fantastic cake with, you know, my final flight from the 747 days, and, you know, flap. Of course, Fly Like a Pro was on there. It was, the significance was just like, it was so perfect. You did not miss a single detail. And I can't thank you enough for the most wonderful retirement party.
And the thing that was most amazing for me was that I was able to keep it a secret.
I was impressed with you being able to do that.
I was just like, I can't say a word. And you would call me, and then I would change you know, like whatever we were talking about,
right.
I would change the conversation because he would come into the room, or he'd have to be away from the room when I would call you. And I'm thinking, wow, I have to pat myself here. You know, I kept it a secret. And it really, I want to say also, thank you so much, Bud, for, you know, doing what you did. And a huge shout out also to Nomad's Place and to Juliana Martins for putting it all together for us. It really, it was so, so touching. It really was a beautiful night, and a night that we will always remember.
That's incredible. So true. Yeah. Juliana did an amazing job as well, as coordinating everything and getting that venue, and Udochi from Nomads, you know, all the details that they put into it. A lot of people care about you, Captain.
I am humbled, and you know, it was bad enough knowing, I mean, I did not want to give up flying. I love it so much, but going out the way that I did and the stuff that you organized, I mean, it just makes it, I'm at peace with it. You know, everybody that I loved was there, and it was just perfect. It was literally perfect.
You really went out in style, didn't you?
I don't think it could have been better. And a huge, we got to give a shout out to one of your good friends, Tom Wellborn. Tom,
oh yeah,
oh my goodness,
guys, Tom,
Uncle Tom.
Tom,
right?
is one of the greatest guys. I hope to fly with him at some point too. He's actually in the 787. He's a first officer. My dad and him have flown plenty of trips together back down, you know, back to the 74 days. And so Tom had originally bid for that trip to try to hold it to as a possible backup option. He was the original first officer on it. And so then he obviously got, you know, United took him off the trip, and Tom did everything he could to try to get still in the jump seat and be assigned to it, and ended up flying out on his own to New York to surprise my dad and be part of the celebration. And then now we can get into, you know, that next day and the final flight. Tom was able to join my dad, myself, my brother, Jack, in, there's two jump seats in the cockpit there, and he was able to join that last flight, and it was a full cockpit going into that last day. What was that feeling for you the last time there, advancing the throttles? We're on the runway, and it's about to happen.
Oh my God. It first of all, it was, you know, it's like the stars aligned, right? I mean, we had this gorgeous day. You know, the day before there had been some storms that rolled through and, you know, brought some rain into the New York area, but today was sunny, gorgeous day, and we were taking off on 22 right. And you know, I always like the. Your mother was sitting in 5L on this flight going home, so she was on the right side of the airplane, and I was thinking to myself, "Oh gosh, darn, she's not going to get a view of New York as we take off." But when we took off, they were vectoring us usual at Newark, and they brought us around to where we actually got the most spectacular view of New York City and, you know, Manhattan, and it was perfect. And then we got vectored back more westward and connected up with our flight plan. But you know, it was just magical again. I mean, you know, and it was almost like, before we took off, we were in a long line of
yep.
Remember that? There was like 22 airplanes waiting to take off. And I had no problem with that. I'm like, we can drag this out as long as
same thing. We're in no rush right now.
The longer I can sit here, exactly, no rush. And then, oh my God, the flight home was perfect. There was no weather across.
We had a great flight. We flew over beautiful. We got like a perfect. Just it just happened to be in the flight plan right over the Grand Canyon. Just stunning views getting towards the end of flight there, yep. And beautiful shots over the Rockies, over Lake yep. Michigan.
I got pictures of everything.
The flight plan that we had, we were, you know, routed right over Grand Canyon Airport. And then we made a slight turn to the right. And for the people on the right side of the airplane, they got this stunning view, right? You could actually see the Colorado
River. Looking right
River.
Down at it. Yep.
You know, normally you don't get that view because we're either a little bit north of it or south of it. And it was just stunning. And then, you know, going over the Rocky Mountains and the ride was smooth. I mean, it was just perfect. Everything was
all right.
Perfect.
We get over Big Bear, guys. For you that don't know, we kind of started our descent, our final descent into the LA area as we're approaching Big Bear. And you see this beautiful mountain range, beautiful lake. At this time of year, there's still, you know, some snow on the ski resort. And we're starting down and we're on our arrival going into LA. You get cleared for your approach pretty far out. We've been cleared for approach 25 left, which was the perfect runway because we had some plane spotters that we're going to try to get a shot and a video of your last landing. And it was all working out, all lining up. You know, you disconnect the autopilot, you're hand flying it, enjoying it, taking in every moment. And we get close and we're, you know, we get switched over to LA Tower. Check in with LA Tower. They give us landing clearance, clear to land 25 left, you know, 526 heavy. Describe that last landing.
Wow. You know, when I did click off the autopilot, you know, a little further out than normal because I just wanted to experience, I was never going to fly a jet like that again. And we're coming down and we got our final clearance. We're talking to Tower and we're approaching, you know, we're going through 500 feet. And slowly descending. And I said, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I have to make a nice landing. This is my final landing. And we're coming down and you hear the 50, 40, 30, 20, 10. And it was a greaser. I'm not going to lie. It was a
okay.
Nice...
Yeah. That I kid you not. You're being a little modest with that. I can only imagine your last landing. You wanted it to be something that you'll always remember and you'll always be so proud of. You have a full boat. Every seat's full on that airplane. It's a 78-10 at this point. All of us on board and people, you know, filming it and everything. And I just, you know, I'm like, oh man, come on. I know he's going to do it. I know he's going to do it. And we get that call out and it's just the 30 to 20 to 10, that perfect slowdown and deceleration of the words being spouted out from the radar altimeter. And guys, we didn't even know we were on the ground. It was that smooth. I have never felt a landing that good in my entire, I swear to God, I'm not just saying this because my dad and last flight, he could not have done the most perfect just seal on a fairy tale career with that landing. It was that smooth, that much butter and just greased it on. And that was the perfect way, I think, to go out.
You know, I can't tell you how many times I've watched that. The plane spotter that was, he was actually a Los Angeles airport worker. So he had clearance to be out there and he had the most beautiful
perfect vantage point
of that final landing. And he was positioned right where we touched down. And it was just like, I've watched it over and over and relived it. And it was just so perfect. It was nice.
And everyone clapped. Everyone went crazy. And everyone, when they were deplaning, they were saying, congratulations, what a beautiful landing. Congratulations, congratulations. And I was just like overwhelmed. It was beautiful.
It was, I think, the perfect way. Everyone on board there, you know, that they just cared so much about you. And yeah, we were able to send you off. I don't think you could have written a better story about that.
Nope. I could not have written a better script. And that's why I'm at peace with all this, flying off into the sunset, so to speak. And it just could not have gone any better. And I have nothing but pleasant memories about this. Just fantastic.
Hey, fly like a pro, baby.
And then what about our cake? Oh, I love the cake.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So we went down to the the chief pilot's office for our, you know, basically final salute, right? I mean, we went down there and we were able to, I was able to pick up my, there's a tradition that when a pilot is retiring, you know, you choose a photograph that you want and they put it out there for about 3 months before you actually retire. And then as the crews, you know, move through the chief pilot's office, flight operations area, they sign, you know, they write stuff on the board. And it was so special, you know, cause I could go down there and pick that up. And of course what you wrote on there, Bud, was just, you know, just brings tears to my eyes. And as a matter of fact, it's being framed right now. It's at the frame shop.
Oh, awesome.
But so yeah, went down there and enjoyed some nice red velvet cake from Porto.
It was amazing. Delicious. Had too many slices.
It was, yeah. I know. So, I mean, all in all, this was an A+.
It absolutely was.
And now I know, have a go with me.
I gotta get your take real quick, Mom, on that. With having, you know, the three of us up in the cockpit there on that last landing, what was that feeling like for you? Just like knowing that we're all there, the three of us sending the captain off in that manner.
You know how you always say that dreams come true? And that was such a dream for me. And to know that all three of you were up, you know, up in the cockpit, and I was in the back as a passenger with Christine. It was such a beautiful feeling that we were all part of this beautiful, basically, you know, send off, like, you know, your father just said. It was such a beautiful feel that I will never, ever forget. And it's been keeping us on such a high. I mean, from the day that, you know, from that day on, we have been, yes, you know, he would have loved to have kept on flying, but at the same time, we are on such a high of everything that happened and how beautifully it happened and how, you know, wonderful and how grateful we are, you know, to you, to, you know, United Airlines, to the social media department there, to making all these beautiful memories stay with us forever, because they did take gorgeous pictures, you know, that are very touching to all of us. And we will always have this in
absolutely
our hearts.
Absolutely. So well said. I want to end it here, Capitan. What kind of wisdom can you impart here on all of our listeners about your career, your 37 years, being able to do what you did and follow your dreams? What kind of wisdom that you've kind of picked up from your entire career can you leave us with?
Well, I would say, first and foremost, whatever you choose to do in life, and if you're fortunate enough to do something that you really love, you know, as the saying goes, you never work a day in your life. I was fortunate in that way, and now you are, and your mother was, and Jack is. It's so wonderful to do something that you love and to always give it your best. Always perform as though no one is watching, and enjoy what you do. And if you're a professional in what you do, the rest will take care of itself. But also enjoy every moment of what you do. When I look back on my career, there's nothing that I don't like about it. I'm filled with gratitude. I thank you to United for giving me this opportunity all these years to do what I love, uniting people with their loved ones, and never take anything for granted. And if you can live like that and have a lot of love in your heart, it's you're going to get many, many returns.
Damn. I love that.
He was the best.
Capitan, you left us with some huge shoes to fill. And I know Jack and I are going to do our absolute best to try to do that. I don't know if we'll ever match your level, but we're definitely going to strive for it and do our best to make both you guys proud. So hats off to you. We salute you and just love you. Love you guys.
Love you more than you know. And thank you so much for giving, you know, us the opportunity to share this with you on your podcast.
Absolutely.
It was fun.
Love you.
Love you guys. We're going to get some awesome videos too and let you guys see a little bit of what we were talking about too with the imagery. So hope you guys enjoy. Bachelor is in the City is hosted by me, Peter Weber.
and me, Dustin Kindred. This podcast is produced by Red Rock Music.
Our producer is Emma Martins, and our executive producer is Red Yoakum. Our audio engineer is Enrique Hinojosa. Subscribe and like or review wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the show on Instagram at Bachelors in the City Podcast.
Got questions for us about the show, life, or really whatever? DM at Bachelors in the City Podcast on Instagram for a chance to be a featured third roommate.
We'll catch you next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.